From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, this is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon, and to celebrate the 60th edition of 30 Laps, gee, that's 1,800 laps in total, well, we're on tour again this week. Back to the DRG, or more importantly, back to Berlin. Thank God, I hear you say, it's good to be on the road again. And not just any old drive either, thank you very much. Danke schön. Berlin at dusk, in an Aston Martin Rapide S. All the bells and whistles on 30 laps this week. And if that's not enough, a crazy sports police car to boot. And staying mad, and we'll look at the iconic Interceptor from Mad Max. Yes, twice around the rubber room today with Dick at 30 laps. So let's get cracking, shall we? Berlin at dusk. A night drive, an Aston Martin's Rapide S. And this comes from the Sport and Leisure Traveller magazine inside the Australian Financial Review for December 2019. Words by Gavin Brett. This is Berlin, culture hotspot, UNESCO City of Design, and testicle of the West. Well, the lesser-known accolade was bestowed on it in 1963 from the then leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. His declaration finished no less assertively, "When I went to the West to scream, I squeeze on Berlin." 2 years earlier, in 1961, Khrushchev himself had given the green light to his East German counterpart to begin construction of the Berlin Wall. It was sold as a protection against the fascist element challenging the creation of a socialist state. But, of course, it served only to prevent mass immigration and defection to the free city of West Berlin. The socialist state failed. The wall fell in December 1989, and the rest is history. As dusk falls on a wintry January evening, what's left of the wall looks, admittedly, a bit bleak. Parked alongside it, a stone's throw from the River Spree, it's about as stark a contrast as is possible to achieve. Then viewed from the sumptuous interior of the new Rapide S, in here, it's a temperature controlled 21 degrees, with a soft glow from the organic electromaglucent displays and cool ambient lighting. Out there, it's -2, and there's a lot of concrete. You needn't travel here to view such history, though. Sections of the wall now live all over the world, including in the CIA's headquarters in Langley, Virginia, in the Vatican Gardens, and even supporting a run of urinals in a Vegas casino. Not long after the border opened, 118 artists from 21 different countries converged to spray celebratory graffiti here. These 100-plus works of art are now arguably the most famous political graffiti in the entire world, confirmed by a sea of selfie sticks pogoing around in front of it even now as night falls. Opposite the gallery, a new Berlin makes its presence felt, with a giant 17,000-seater arena and a brand-new complex of vast, glass-fronted modern offices. Across this vibrant city, it's the same story. Wherever there is history, there is also bold new development. And now there's also loud noise, the explosive combustion note from the Rapide's new generation AM29 6-litre V12 is positively obscene. And utterly addictive. It rips through the cold air with such ferocity that the selfie sticks all swivel around en masse to steal a shot. In doing so, they've proved that culture-defining art comes in many forms. A savvy bunch. This new Rapid S is faster, leaner, and cleaner than its predecessor, and it is still undeniably the world's most beautiful four-door sports car. Power is up to 552 brake horsepower, an increase of more than 18% on the first Rapid, with a 0-60 sprint dispatched effortlessly, not like the way I pronounced it, effortlessly in just 4.2 seconds. Carbon emissions are cleaner at 300 grams per kilogram, and fuel economy extends to a lean 31 miles to the gallon. But despite this, top speed increases to 203 miles an hour. Threading west through the meat district, there's zero danger of achieving anything like that. Berlin is still growing with new construction at every corner. The drive is nonetheless effortless. A car this large and this powerful should prove at least slightly bothersome around the city. Logically, it's sublime, agile and balanced and controlled. The new Touchtronic 888 8-speed gearbox is beyond competent. In standard automatic, your wishes are its commands before you even had time to think of them. On the open road with paddle shifts as quick as 130 milliseconds, your smile will only widen. Driving south across the Spree, past the enormous Berlin Cathedral and the Reichstag, the seat of Germany's parliament, complete with Norman Foster designed dome, we head for new Bikini Berlin House Mall. This main shopping area for the city has never tried to be cool. Bikini is trying to change that with its world's first concept mall of boutiques, pop-up stores, flagship brands and gastronomy. Families, couples, teenagers and now hipsters show up here, milling around in its swish clean boxes. In warmer months, the roof terrace avoids the view of the Berlin Zoo just next door. Alas, it is positively Baltic. We head to the 25 hours Bikini Hotel, where an express elevator takes us to the 10th floor and two of Berlin's hottest tickets, the restaurant Nini, and its accompanying venue, the Monkey Bar, with panoramic views of Berlin, the Tiergarten Park and Zoo, both of which are heaving. In Nini, the food spans much of Europe and dishes served in pots and pans directly from the kitchen, encouraging everyone to try a little something. Tourists and locals alike are hoovering it up. Opposite, in the Monkey Bar, draft beers, cocktails, mocktails and a DJ keep the party going till 2 a.m. Friday to Saturday, at which point patrons and even staff decamp to bars in the east to carry on the fun. But not before they've grabbed a currywurst, sausage, curry, powder and fries, from nearby Curry 36, now considered one of the best of the new breed of Berlin currywurst institutions. But wait, let's stop. Let's have a look at the Top Gear review. And their review is 8 out of 10 for this wonderful car. A DB9, which someone held the button on the extrusion machine for too long, and the result? A gorgeous 5-metre long 4-door Aston Martin, which might add little in the way of real usable space in the rear, but takes up more space parked in Casino Square in Monte Carlo, or, as in today, the Berlin. Unquestionably elegant, the Rapid also possesses the power to match it. It's now built in Britain, which should give it the range. Spot these new improved Rapid models from their vanquish-style grille and genuinely more sporting and focused debonair. It has a V12 under the bonnet, Even more exciting, it has an improved V12 in S guise, nicknamed from the Vanquish, and now producing, as we mentioned, 558 brake horse. It's a truly wondrous noise and goes hard. In 2015, Aston added ZF 8-speed auto for shifts as creamy as the V12 itself. The Rapide's additional length does wonders for the ride and comfort, while the steering is quick and clear. It's very easy to forget that you're driving something with a couple of seats behind you, which, given they really be occupied, does seem to make it a little pointless. The thing is, though, as it is one of Aston's best steering and most comfortable driving cars. The steering weight is near perfect and clever, adaptive dampeners neatly balance comfort and control. Aston has basically given it a full makeover and concentrated round of honing to make it better than thus a very appealing alternative to the four-door fare. Sitting low and laid back in its cockpit, you're surrounded by fine materials, lovingly fitted by craftsmen and women. Only a few parts share buttons, and stalks let down the otherwise unique cabin, and the sat-nav is now much less hopeless than it was. There's no more space for the back seats, though. Even getting in is tricky. Four doors maybe, but saloon alternative it is not. The boot's sizeable, and its hatchback opening means you can cram a decent amount in there. The seat backs fold back too, though we doubt that you'll be going to any trips to a B&Q in it. See instead as a two-seat DB9 estate and Aston shooting brake. Running costs? They go right out the window in this sector, which is just as well, as everything hand-built with a 6-litre V12 is never going to be inexpensive to run. You'll not care when you're in it, and petrol's still a way cheaper than decent champagne. Besides, it now does nearly 22 miles to the gallon. Positively frugal in this sector. You could argue it'll make good sense financially in the long run, as you can empty your garage of any other supercars and saloons. Sports cars are for new money oiks. The Rapide is for gents who appreciate its near-perfect blend of sports car agility and saloon car comfort. So long as you're not in the back. The damage? $382,110. That's 13 litres per 100 kilometres. And 13 litres per 100 kilometres, I'm sorry, which is lousy, and a top speed of 327 miles an hour. People could say it's hotter as hell. Sorry, that should be hotter than hell. Well, Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra definitely think so. But back to Berlin by night. Where were we? Oh, that's right. Just 5 minutes from the Monkey Bar. Hotel Van Steinplatz offers boutique luxury to the travel weary in its stunning 102-year-old Art Nouveau building. The ace up this hole's sleeve is the much-lauded restaurant, A.M. Steinplatz, where regional products are used to execute classical Berlin recipes, such as boiled pork knuckle, imaginatively reinterpreted by chef Stefan Hartmann. Yum. Or there's the Waldorf Astoria, looming large opposite 25 hours. Its fine dining French restaurant, La Soloiste, was awarded a Michelin star in its first year. No mean feat. Directly opposite the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, complete with a bomb-damaged spire after a direct hit from the RAF in 1943. This is Berlin 2015, old and new, with hipster ever presence. We journey east through the Tiergarten Park onto the famous Brandenburg Gate. At night, thousands of cars swirl around this 18th century neoclassical triumphal arch before targeting the city centre and its outside districts. On the huge Stab des Juni 17, heading up to it, the Rapide S has a chance to open up. Committed acceleration pulls you sharply into the seat where the soft ventilated leather cosets you like a newborn. It's like riding in a space shuttle launch, only with all the trappings of first class. Swinging south through trendy Kreuzberg, the gastronomy tour continues. Local favourite Kimchi Princess serves up Korean dishes in its concrete, cool, modernist dining room. But French cuisine is clearly booming in Berlin, and Kreuzberg has one of the best. Restaurant Richard. Empty tanks can fill up here with up to 7 courses from the contemporary haute cuisine menu that changes every few weeks. And that, folks, is where we leave the Rapide, very unfortunately, at the end of a night on the town, which began in Berlin at dusk. For the Gourmet Traveller magazine, with words by Gavin Brett. Very excited words at part two, I might add. And it's time to begin something else. Well, Artie Shaw has begun the begin, so we'll begin something else here on 30 Laps. This is Richard Lyon, and we're 17 minutes into our journey today. We'll talk about not the wonderful jazz of Artie Shaw, but the world's craziest police car. This comes from driven.co.nz. It's an editorial. Anonymous wrote it on the 27th of February. Dubai's police force is known for its insane collection of supercars, but the department's latest addition adds some tough guy looks to the European prima donnas. Dubbed the Beast Patrol, this rugged SUV is the work of the Dubai-based W Motors. The maker has been responsible for other small-run hypercars, such as the Lycan Hypersports, which featured in the Fast and Furious 7 movie, or the Fenya Supersport. Both vehicles had an insane performance that was equally matched by a head-spinning price of US $3.4 million, which in our money is about $5.1 million, and US $4.1 million or $2.2 million, respectively. The company's boss, Ralph Debbas, told CNN the company was planning to build 2,000 of these tough SUVs for deployment in Dubai and surrounding areas, and the vehicle was the product of several years of collaboration with the police department in Dubai. "We've been working with police for 2 years to make sure their demands can all be embedded into one vehicle," says Debbas. "This is no longer a car, it's a tool." The Beast Patrol will have some pretty cutting-edge technology with facial and license plate recognition cameras, integrated drones, bespoke weapons holders, and driver behaviour cameras, according to CNN. The vehicle will also be bulletproof and have up to 10 screens inside and seating for 4 officers. No word on the performance, but expect a big engine with performance to match. The brands Lycan Hypersports and Fenya Supersport are powered by twin-turbo 6-cylinders, making 560 kilowatts and 580 kilowatts, respectively. The Beast Patrol is being developed by W Motors Special Projects Division and will be produced in the company's new Dubai factory, which was announced earlier this year. With its chunky SUV bodywork, the Beast Patrol will look out of place in a department that uses the best of exotic cars. Some of the most insane police cars in Dubai include a Lamborghini Aventador that costs more than $800,000 and a Ferrari FF costing more than $600,000. Adding to the ranks are an Audi A8, a Bentley Continental, and that's worth more than $400,000. But these all pale into comparison to the Bugatti Veyron, once the fastest car in the world, clocking 0 to 100 kilometres an hour in just 2.5 seconds, on the way to a top speed of more than 400. The Veyron's enormous 8-litre 16-cylinder quad turbo engine makes 736 kilowatts at 1200 newton metres. The Veyron was never made in right-hand drive, so it would have cost several million dollars in Australia and New Zealand. The Dubai police also have a Porsche 918 Spyder and the brand's rare hybrid supercar, which again was never sold in Australia and New Zealand, but would have cost well north of $1 million. Crikey, that comes from Driven.com. Imagine having to pay for a service on an 8-litre 16-cylinder quad-turbo engine. Oh boy, I'm glad it's not me. It's the plenty of money in the Dubai police force, obviously. I'd rather take the A-train, I think, in Dubai. So while they're busy trying to play the piano and take the H train at the same time, we look at the iconic Interceptor, the Ford Falcon from the Mad Max set. It's set to fetch millions. And this is from driven.co.nz too, and it was written by Andrew Slice. Despite Australia's rich muscle car culture, its beefy lineup of V8-equipped metal was given very little time in the international spotlight compared to the American-built counterparts throughout the years. One anomaly was the iconic Ford Falcon XB, dubbed the Interceptor, that took a starring role in the Mad Max franchise, which starred Mel Gibson and was set in the Falcon's homeland of Australia. Based on a 1973 Falcon GT, a raft of modifications installed to make it worthy of the Interceptor title. These included a fake supercharger protruding, sticking up through the hood, side exhaust pipes, and a pair of huge fuel tanks, through the rear window. Since its time in the limelight, the Interceptor has lived a busy life, getting passed through different collections. After being saved from a wrecking yard and finally ending up at its current spot in America. Interestingly, the car has been shown in multiple museums throughout its life, with the first being the National Motor Museum in Australia. In 1992, it was moved to the Cars of the Stars Motor Museum in the UK, and then the Orlando Auto Museum in Florida in 2011. Here it sat amongst the automotive royalty, such as Ecto-1 Ghostbusters, the Miller Meteor Ambo, the BTTF DeLorean DMC-12 Time Machine, and Steve McQueen's iconic Bullet Mustang. Well, it's now been put up for sale by the current owner in the United States, who has reportedly turned down a previous offer of $3.1 million. If it goes for sale for more than this, it will beat the $2.5 million for the 1972 GTHO Falcon as the most expensive Australian-built car ever sold. Unsurprisingly, one major motoring Aussie magazine is looking to bring the Interceptor back home and is preparing to lobby the government for its cause. A major Australian museum is looking to do the same, with the cost, as usual, being the only issue. No matter how much this interceptor sells for, it will sure be a far cry from the $8,000 or so that it failed to sell for back in 1979. But we reckon that should be brought back home to Australia. And there we have it. It's 25 minutes in. We're nearly done for the day on 30 laps. This is Richard Lyon from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. We've got time for one more, and that's we're back to our brands, and we're still with the A's, and we move to the Audi. Founder, August Horch, 1868 to 1951, left his company and was blocked from using the name again for his own efforts. His son suggested Audi. Audi is German for listen, and Audi is the same in Latin. The logo derives from the art union, a merger of four brands, Audi, DKW, Horch, and Wanderer. The rings representing each brand overlap to signify union. They are silver, which is the national racing colour of Germany. So there you go. When you get overtaken by one of those clowns driving one of those Audis with the four rings, at least you can say, I know what those four rings mean. You'll get it all here on 30 laps. We'll do the first in the B's. And of course, the B's start with Bentley. Bentley started building aircraft engines in the First World War, so wings seemed natural. The silver of the logo represents sophistication. There are actually an uneven number of feathers on either side of the wing, so that they have varied throughout history. The emblem was designed by Frederick Gordon Crosby, 1885 to 1943, who also worked for Autocar as an illustration and sketch artist for 30 years. So there you go. Audi, so Audi and Bentley. That's why Bentley's emblem has got wings. There's the First World War aircraft coming in again. Not coming in now, but coming into the conversation. So I hope you enjoyed our trip around Berlin after dark and our beautiful Aston Martin Rapid. You got to sit in the front with me because we couldn't fit anybody in the back, but it's still a four-door. And it's interesting that it's so smooth and rated so highly by Top Gear magazine, of all places. And I hope you enjoyed talking about the Mad Max Interceptor, which is going to auction. I will keep you up to date when that does sell. I'll let you know all about that. And the crazy Dubai Police motor vehicle fleet, which should be worth having a look at if you ever get to do a stopover in Dubai on the way to the Northern Hemisphere. Thank you very much for your company today. The show is written and produced in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. I'm Richard Lyon. I've really enjoyed bringing it to you, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye for now.